Welcome to Halacha in a Year, where we can get to learn all the most relevant halacha through the prism of the Ketzer Shulchan Aruch. You are listening to Rabbi Yaakov Tramp. This shiur is kindly sponsored by the Moshe Group and CA in Zuchus of Rivka Bela Bas Nechama Shifra and in honor of Rabbi Tramp. We are now going to be learning the halachas of Mai Machronim and Birkas HaMazon, the water at the end of the meal and the blessing on the Birkas HaMazon of a meal that is consumed bread during. So let's look at this. We're going to look at four basic concepts. Number one is Mai Machronim itself, the last waters of the meal. Number two is the details relating to Birkas HaMazon. Number three is time for Birkas HaMazon. And number four, special occasions. Let's jump straight in. Mai Machronim. We know that Mai Machronim is a practice to wash one's hands before the end of the meal, before one says on Birkas HaMazon. Why do we do it? So there's two reasons. One is because of melach sedomis, which is a type of salt that would be perhaps touching one's hands. And if one touches one's face, it could affect one's eyes. It's interesting to note that around the Dead Sea, where much salt was mined and collected, in that case, there actually is a type of salt called MgCl, magnesium chloride, which is dangerous for the eyes. And perhaps in those days when they were collecting salt and with less of a refining process, that would be a danger that was inherent. And the other is because the Torah says, "Iskadashtem yisem kadoshim," sanctify yourselves and be holy. And this refers to the Mayim Rishonim and Mayim Achronim, the water at the beginning of the meal and the water at the end of the meal, which relates to the idea of Ruach Tumah, at the beginning and the end, and therefore one should be doing it for that reason as well. Why do some people not do it today? The answer is because there's generally less of a concern about Melach Sedomis today. Conceptually, it might be that Melach Sedomis is also a concept one needs to think about in terms of the way one eats, especially when one eats. One becomes very self-centered, and the Midas Sedom is Sheli Sheli V'Shelcha Shelcha, that what is mine and yours is yours. One needs to loosen up a little bit and understand that not everything is about what is mine, and just being so particular about everything as well, especially when it comes to food and meals. What should our practice today be? So the Kisser says, although some people are mekil, are lenient on this, a yirei shamayim, a person who fears heaven, should make sure to do my machronim. How much of the hand needs to be washed? So it can even be up to the second knuckle, which is lower than regular netilas yadayim. How much how should the hands be held? So the Kisser suggests fingers downwards for it to drip off. It is worthwhile noting the Mishabura is very makbid. The Chavetz Chaim calls out those people who, you know, use those little drippers where you use, like, you know, three drops. That's not sufficient. The Mishabura disagrees with the Kitzur and says that it should really be up to the knuckles, and it should be a proper pouring. It should not just be a few drips. Who washes first? The person who's about to bench, who's leading the benching, should be the one to wash first. Where should that water go? So it should not be put on the ground where people walk, because it carries ruach ra. So it should be put in a vessel or under the table where people are not going to be walking. What should one be done right after the netilah? So one should wash and then say Birkas HaMazon right away without a break. The Gemara tells us that there's three tekichifos. There are three immediacies that are required, and one of them is tekif and the netilah bracha. One is that the bracha and the netilah need to be connected. We usually understand that to mean between the first washing before the meal and the Birkas HaMotzi, but it also refers to the netilas Mayim Achronim and the Birkas HaMazon as well. It's worthwhile noting that the Arizal said that this also relates to pain, which could be found in the shoulder, that a person can have healing through this as well, because techef, which means immediate, which is one of the three immediates, is also the same words as kasef, which is the shoulder as well. Fascinating application. Now, moving into details in the Birkas HaMazon, this is our second concept. Just a quick background, the Birkas HaMazon is not one blessing, it is four brachos with a number of supplications at the end, starting from the Harachamans. Those four brachos were actually created at different stages in Jewish history. The first bracha of Birkas HaMazon, which is the first paragraph, was created at the time when the nation of Israel were in the desert, where they were being fed and sustained by the bread from the heaven. That's when we et alam kuloi, God sustains the entire world, which is the bracha said. When the nation of Israel arrived in the land of Israel, composed by Yehoshua and the generation who came into the land, they had a bracha of Noidelecha, which thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu for many things surrounding specifically the land of Israel. That's the second bracha. And then, which is the way the pasuk comes in, V'achalta v'savata v'arachta, which is said about when the people come into the land of Israel. The third bracha was composed by David and Shlomo, which was at the time that they built the Beis HaMikdash. That's why it refers to Yerushalayim and the Binyan Beis HaMikdash today. But in Barachamov, that we obviously refer to the fact that Yerushalayim is in a destitute and broken state. And finally, the fourth bracha
which is our Tovah Meta, which starts with the new bracha because it was not created at the same time. It was created almost 1,000 years later. Was at the massacre of Beitar when the Bar Kokhba rebellion under the Hadrianic persecutions was put down and quelled. The people of Beitar were massacred, and months later they were given the opportunity to be buried by the Romans. And when they came to bury them, they found that the dead had not rotted. And they saw this miracle fitting to say Atov Amete, which is the fourth and last bracha. Very fascinating history, and there's more to be said about this. But let's go jump straight into some of the practical halachic aspects of it. How much bread must I eat for Birkas HaMazon? So the Torah tells us, you need to eat satiation, which is seen to be minimally a kebetza. But today, with the Gemara in Brachos Dachov tells us that the nation of Israel were machmir on themselves to take on saying Birkas HaMazon, even for a kezias, which is really about 1.1 fluid ounces, or around 31 milliliters or cubic centimeters of food, which is not so much. And part of the idea behind this is being willing to be able to say a bracha on half a measure. When we're willing to say, Akash Baruch Hu, I'm thankful for what you gave me in life, even if it isn't satiation, that's still worthy of a bracha. It's a very beautiful mila of Israel. And the Gemara tells us, because we do this, like, Yisar Hashem Ponav Alecha V'Yasem Lecha Shalom, Hashem grants us peace, because this is a midah which enhances peace. What position should I be in for Birkas HaMazon? I need to be sitting, not standing or walking. What happens if I was eating when I was walking or standing, even though I shouldn't have been? So in that case, you still need to sit down for Birkas HaMazon. Why? Says the Ketzer, because more kavana is when there is less energy being defrayed for other activities. When one's walking, when one's standing, one's defraying more energy. Similarly, one should not fidget or play during Birkas HaMazon. Eri says, I know, but I can concentrate. Yeah, you can, but you're actually taking away kavana for something which is really incredibly important. The only bracha midaraisa, according to many. What is the dress code for benching? So one should be dressed in a way of respect. For a man, this is the time that a hat is recommended during one's benching for Birkas HaMazon. I heard something about the knife during Birkas HaMazon. What's the deal with the knife in Birkas HaMazon? So the knife should be put away for Birkas HaMazon. Why is that? So there's two reasons that are given in halacha. One is that the Mizbeach, the altar, is considered a ma'arech, that which lengthens people's lives. And a knife is that which is makatzer, shortens people's lives. So when one says the bracha, which is when one sanctifies the table as a Mizbeach, one needs to remove the knife. Similarly, another reason is that there was a fellow who was saying Birkas HaMazon, came to the bracha, Bnei Berachim of Yerushalayim Amen, and referring to the fact that Yerushalayim is in a terrible state, and was so upset about this, he took the knife off the table and impaled himself, and so therefore we take it off at the time where people could be brought to that level of emotion. How is a Mizbeach HaMarech? How is the altar that which lengthens one's life? So the Ketzer explains, because it atones for one's sins. And that transposition of that to the table is because when one has has guests, that itself is a tremendous merit for people, and that's how it lengthens one's life. Why do we make a rule from an exception? So this fellow who impaled himself, that sounds like a strange case. That's an anomaly. You don't make rules like that because of anomalies. So we remind ourselves that it is possible to care that much. It is possible to care about Yerushalayim, not just as an academic subject, but something which matters so much. By taking off the knife, we say, you know, it is possible to care so deeply about Yerushalayim. Is this all the time? So the Ketzer says that on Shabbos and Yom Tov, you do not need to take the knife off, and it because you're protected on Shabbos and Yom Tov, some people still do. But the Ketzer says, Minagam Shal Yisrael Torah, he should follow the Minag of Yisrael. How are the listeners meant to respond to the benching? So they should say Amen after each of the four brachas, and Amen after each of the harachmans. Anytime you hear a bracha from a Jew about a good thing, you should say Amen, and the harachmans are all good things. Is any change nosach if I'm eating in the house of a pagan? The answer is yes. Technically speaking, one should say, and the Ketzer recommends, Oisanu b'nei bris kulanu yachad. One should include those who are part of the covenant, excluding the pagans, because one should not be saying a blessing to a person who is an idol worshipper in this particular case. This is obviously referring to somebody who's not a monotheist. The third concept is Dar Birkas HaMazon. It's the time to say Birkas HaMazon. So if I left without saying Birkas HaMazon, how long do I have to say it? So this is as long as it takes to digest the food. How do I know when that is? So when one starts to feel hungry, then I can no longer say Birkas HaMazon. This, of course, assumes that one had once filled the last meal. How long is this if one wants to quantify it? So it's roughly 1 hour and 12.5 minutes would be the amount of time to be able to that one can still say within that time the sheer equal of saying the Birkas HaMazon. What if the meal drags on for much longer than that? Some Shabbos meals go to 3 hours. So in that case, it's all right because there's intermittent snacks and drinks all the way along. So it's not like one's finished one's meal in that case. What if I left the place I ate and I'm in a new location? Can I say Birkas HaMazon on my meal there? We dealt with this a little bit beforehand in the previous in Simon. But then if there's more bread there, one should really eat a little bit of bread in that case and then say Birkas HaMazon. But if there isn't bread, one can still say Birkas HaMazon on the first meal, which is from a different location. What if I forgot and I said if I said Birkas HaMazon, I just don't remember. So we say that Birkas HaMazon, the saying the benching of the meals is a din d'oraisa, is a biblical law. And when one is in a case of doubt as to whether one covered a din d'oraisa, then one has to go back and say it. For women, this is not as clear because there is a safek, is a doubt as to whether it's d'oraisa for women. And if she does not know she benched, she would not be required to go back to bench as well. What happens if I fell asleep during the Birkas HaMazon? I wake up on the table and I can't figure out where I was in the Birkas HaMazon, so one would need to restart one's Birkas HaMazon. We now finish the last concept that we're going to deal with today, and that is special occasions. So on Shabbos, we add into Birkas HaMazon Ritzei in the third bracha. On Rosh Chodesh or Yom Tov, we add in Yalev Yov in the third bracha. And on Chanukah and Purim, we add Al-Nes into the second bracha. And let's add a few basic questions. On Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, which edition goes first? So Shabbos' edition Ritzei goes first because Shabbos is more frequent and more holy than Rosh Chodesh. What if I forgot Ritzei or Yalev Yavoi? So if I'm in the bracha and I say Baruch Ata Hashem, I'm about to finish Bonei Baruch Amav, if I get there before the name of Hashem, then I just go back and say Ritzei and Yalev Yavoi and then complete the bracha. If I already said the name of Hashem, then I would complete the bracha by saying Lamdeni Chukecha, which is a pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Yud Tes, Baruch Ata Hashem Lamdeni Chukecha, which means you're saying an extra pasuk, not a bracha. Allow me to go back and then finish the bracha of Bnei Racham of Yerushalayim Amen. But if it's after the name of Hashem and I've finished then I need to finish the bracha, and before saying the fourth bracha of Atav Ametiv, then I add in a special insertion which relates to the special day that I'm on today. If I already started the fourth bracha, it's too late, and for the certain benchings that I need to be doing, I would need to go back to the beginning and repeat the benching. Let's deal with some of those details quickly. What are the special brachas which are added? So this is in case three, when I remembered only after I finished the bracha of Bnei Baruch Amav Yerushalayim Amen, but I didn't start the fourth bracha. So at that place, I can't go back because I already finished the bracha, but I need to say it, otherwise I need to repeat the benching. So what do I say? So on Shabbos, you say a special insert, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, blessed be Hashem, the Master of the Universe, Asher Nasa Shabbos Os Menucha. You gave Sabbaths for rest, L'Amo Yisrael, for your nation of Israel, Be'ahava, L'Ois Abris, as a sign of love and covenant, Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. Blessed are you, Hashem, who sanctifies the Shabbos. On Yom Tov, you'd say a similar one. Asher Nosan Yomim Tovim Namo Yisrael L'Sason L'Simcha. You gave these days of happiness for your nation of Israel. It's Yom Chag, whatever it is. HaPesach HaZeh Baruch Atah Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael V'Azmanim. You add that bracha. You're adding in another bracha to the benching. For a Shabbos and Yom Tov, you combine the two. For Rosh Chodesh, you say Baruch Atah Hashem Nekan Melech Olam B'Nes Yashem L'Masa Yinus Asher Nosan Rosh Chodeshim Namo Yisrael L'Zikaron. You gave the nation of Israel these Rosh Chodeshim as a remembrance. You would not add the Chasima, the closure over there, because we'll see in a second it's not as obligatory to eat on Rosh Chodesh in the weekday. And on Chol HaMoed, there's a similar one which sounds very similar to the Yom Tov one. Rosh Hashanah has a slightly different one about Yom HaZikaron as well. So these are extra brachas. You'll look in a bencher, and a lot of the benches will have a large footnote by Uvnei Yerushalayim with all these permutations of brachas there. And it's such an incredible thing because it takes up at least a page or a large section of the footnote section of the benching, and it only applies in the case where you remembered between the two brachas. So it's a very unusual thing, but it's very important to have, because if you remember then and you don't have the nusach, you can't really say it. Now, when does one need to repeat? So like meaning which benchings, if I left out completely and I already started the fourth bracha, when do I need to repeat the benching? So if it's I left out Ritzei on Shabbos for the first two meals, then I would need to go back. If it's a Tzodesh Shlishis, I would not need to go back. It should be noted that even if one doesn't need to go back, one would still say the special bracha, Asher Nosan Shabbos Hasim Minucha, in the middle, before I start the fourth bracha. If also I'd have to go back, if I leave out Yalev Yav on the first two meals of Yom Tov, and one would also, but one would not really need to repeat the benching if one completely left it out for Tzodesh Shlishis on Shabbos or even Yom Tov, and Rosh Chodesh during the week, and Chol HaMoed as well, and some people say even Rosh Hashanah as well. What is the difference between these days? Why would I need to repeat some and not the others? The answer is whether you are obligated to actually say Birkas HaMazon on those days. So on Shabbos, you have to eat two meals for sure. On Yom Tov, you have to eat two meals, and they have to be bread meals, right? So therefore, if I miss saying the Birkas HaMazon correctly, reflecting that day, then that's considered a deficiency, which I need to make up for. But on Rosh Chodesh, technically speaking, on a Tuesday Rosh Chodesh, I don't need to eat bread. I can get around without that, and therefore I will not need to go back if I completely forgot it as well. What if I forgot Al HaNisim? So if before I finish the bracha, then I go back, say it, and finish the bracha. What happens if it's after I finish the name of Hashem in the bracha? Then you don't go back. You don't add it in then. But at the end of the benching, where you have all the supplications, where you have the harachmans, you would add in the following harachman. Harachman who yaselonu nisim in flo'os, maybe you will, to that you should do for us miracles and wonders, commercial asad avosenu by mazman hazeh, like you did for our forefathers in those times. And then you start off with the b'mei Matisyahu for Chanukah or b'mei Mordechai v'Esther in the Purim one as well. This Nusach of Arachman is usually found in the section of the Arachmans with the usual inserts for Shabbos and Yom Tov. It's usually at the bottom there, and one can just add in and go back and say the entire Al HaNisim as a prayer rather than a gratitude. Now, what if I ate bread on the Shabbos, the afternoon of Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Yom Tov, and I'm saying Birkas HaMazon, but it's after dark, the meal stretched into the evening? I still say that I include the special event in my Birkas HaMazon because it's reflecting when I began my meal. What about the opposite way around? What happens if I was eating on Erev, Rosh Chodesh, Erev, Hanukkah, Purim, a meal, and it went into the night? So one would still say Me'ena Ma'ora, one would still add in that special event because one is now finishing on that time. What happens if I am eating on Shabbos afternoon and it's Siddur Shlishis, and then it is also Erev Rosh Chodesh, so tonight the night is going to be Rosh Chodesh, and I carry on my meal into the night? So what do I do in my benching? If I say it's Ritzei, then I'm continuing Shabbos, but it's really technically Rosh Chodesh. We just say Yalev Yavoi, it's technically Rosh Chodesh and not Shabbos. The Kitzur says, say both, it's not a problem. However, there are those who are concerned about this and say that's Tarti Desastri, that's internally contradictory, and therefore says the Kitzur, avoid the situation. Now, the situation to be avoided is not eating Siddur Shlishis after Shkia, after sunset, it's eating till the meal goes after dark, which I find is a very unusual thing to happen outside of the Hasidic world, because a lot of people, unfortunately, are always rushing to get out of Shabbos, and that being the case, if they're rushing, then it is going to they will usually finish the meal at some point during twilight, ben hashmashos, and therefore it would not be so much of a concern in this particular case. Lots of fascinating halachas, some are more well-known, some which require a little more sensitivity to the way that we practice ourselves. Have a wonderful and meaningful day.